Hello, everyone. It's me, Gene, from the CBS Sports Kings podcast, getting you ready for Week 10 of the National Football League, which got underway Thursday night in Phoenix, Arizona, a division matchup, NFC West division matchup between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks win that game 22-16. Not a great night for Adrian Peterson. He carried the ball 21 times for 29 yards. I believe his longest burst of the night was a 9-yard run. Drew Stanton, 24-47, 273 yards and one touchdown. Normally between the Seahawks and the Cardinals, you get a great game. And for the most part, it was. It started out that way. But, nevertheless, the Seahawks knew what they had to do. They improved to 6-3, and the Cardinals dropped to 4-5. Russell Wilson, not a bad night, I guess. 22-32, 238 yards and two touchdowns. Finished with a 111 quarterback rating. His targets on the night was Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham is getting it done. Say what you will about that guy. He may not be the most consistent player on that team, but nevertheless, he gets it done. Doug Baldwin continues to shine along with, some other great players. I tell you what, I'm sitting there watching that game that night and just watching the Seahawks play, especially with, the running backs that they have. It's just really hard even, though Beast Mode hasn't been with them for a couple of seasons now. But knowing that he's not there, you're looking at Rawls, Kissick, they use running back by committee now to get it done. But a crazy game, though, as far as injuries. How many injuries have we seen this year? We just talked about last week, Deshaun Watson, the Houston Texans lose their rookie quarterback for the rest of the season. But the Arizona Cardinals had some notable injuries in that game. Tavon Branch, defensive back, ACL. You just hate to see these things happen, in the NFL. It's just amazing some of these injuries that we've seen. But nevertheless, the Cardinals got some worries. I tell you what, it was nice to see Jermaine Gresham get something done. I've followed this kid his entire career, coming from Oklahoma. He went over to the Cincinnati Bengals, and it seems like he's found a home there in Arizona. So what does this win do for the Seattle Seahawks? Well, right now over in the NFC West, it keeps them, on pace with the Los Angeles Rams, who are playing lights out football. And I'll talk about them a little bit later. But the Rams are leading that division, 6 wins against 2 losses. And now the Seahawks are 1, game back of the Rams. So, if I was a betting man, I would say in the NFC West, you will probably look at 2 teams making the playoffs. Okay, and now is the time to start thinking playoffs, folks, because the end of the season will be here before you know it. This is November. Next month is December. Regular season will end, I believe, the first week in January. So, just keep your eye on it. But the Rams are looking pretty good, and the Seahawks needed that win. They really needed that win in what I consider a hostile environment. I've had an opportunity to visit that University of Phoenix Stadium, a very nice stadium, by the way, and I know that Bruce Arians wanted to win that game, and they just couldn't get it done. Speaking of other injuries, how could I forget this? Richard Sherman out for the season as well. Players are going down, and it's big time players for big time teams. And it's going to be interesting to see just who's going to be left standing. I think at this point right now in the NFL season, it's all about if your team is healthy and if you're playing good, you have a chance to get to Minneapolis, Minnesota for Super Bowl 52. I mean, and it's just unbelievable. Some of the things that are, some of the storylines that are happening right now in the NFL. The Saints, winners of six straight games. The New Orleans Saints, okay. I mean, many people have talked about that team since their Super Bowl win, you know, many years ago. We've talked about the Saints and how they don't have a defense and how Drew Brees looked like he's getting old. But I tell you, man, I am really shocked at the Saints. And I'm also impressed with the Carolina Panthers, who, you know, made that Super Bowl a few years ago, Super Bowl 50. They lose to Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. And then that next year, they just come back and tank. And they, you know, had injuries as well. But now look at the Carolina Panthers. I mean, if it wasn't for the Saints, the Panthers would, you know, be first place leading that division. So just as I stated in the NFC West, you're looking at your wild cards, I think. You're looking at a certainly, you know, either the Saints or the Panthers are going to win that division. You know, one or the other. I mean, the way the Saints are playing, we could say that the Saints probably will win it. And the Panthers being a... at 6-3, the Saints are 6-2. Panthers are 6-3, and there's your wild card. I mean, if things just continue to play out the way they are, and I get up to that NFC East because I know Dallas Cowboy fans are just saying, "Me and Gene, you're not giving the Cowboys any love." And depending on what sports talk show you listen to or what sports network you watch on TV. They might show the Cowboys right now in a wild card spot, but I just don't see it right now. Philadelphia Eagles are running away with that division. They have won seven straight games. And ironically, they have not played the Cowboys yet. And so that's going to be some interesting things. So Cowboy fans, I will give you a little credit for your huge win over the Kansas City Chiefs. So you can say that you have beaten a, you know, pretty good opponent. And the Chiefs, but you know, that's just looking at the playoff picture, I would say that your two wild card teams are going to come from the NFC South and possibly the NFC West. But there's, you know, still a lot of football to be played here in this 2017 season. So let's go ahead and get you ready for week 10, some of the other big games that are going to be coming up this weekend, and let's just stick with the Saints here. New Orleans Saints, 6-2 at the Buffalo Bills. This should be a pretty good one, okay, because the Buffalo Bills are not playing that bad either. I mean, they have a winning record at 5-3. Tyrod Taylor is, you know, playing some pretty good football. LeSean McCoy is looking pretty good, and on defense, you know, Jerry Hughes is getting it done. The last time these two teams played at Buffalo, it was the Saints beating the Bills 27-7, and that was back on September 29th, 2009. And let's see what we got here. I believe some of the key components of this game is going to be Tyrod Taylor for the Buffalo Bills, LeSean McCoy, Kelvin Benjamin, and their ability to score points on a Saints defense. I mean, it's hard to even mention that the Saints now are playing pretty good defense. Cameron Jordan is leading that team with seven sacks. So I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the Saints. Drew Brees is getting things done here. He's looking mighty good. He completed 26 of 34 for 332 yards and five touchdowns. The last time these two teams played. So Mark Ingram has 719 scrimmage yards and four touchdowns in the past seven games on the road versus an AFC opponent. So, and Alvin Kamara, who had 152 scrimmage yards last week, you know, that's a career high for him. So I got to pick this game, I guess, right? You know what? I am going to say that the Buffalo Bills might slow down the New Orleans Saints. I mean, come on, Saints fans. I can't imagine coming back a week later saying that the Saints have won 7 straight games, okay? And if they do, and if I have to admit that I'm wrong, then I will. But right now, I mean, it's a tall order. You're going to Buffalo, and Buffalo is playing pretty good, you know, football. I mean, granted, everyone missed that opportunity to, you know, just kind of take the bull by the head, by the horn, and take over the AFC East. I mean, now the Patriots are back at the top. But the Bills are in second place. So, I mean, this is an important game for the Buffalo Bills, because if there's going to be a wild card team coming out of that AFC East, then the Buffalo Bills need to win. Because right now, looking at the AFC, the AFC South is, I would say, is up for grabs. The Titans and the Jaguars are tied at 5-3. Looking at the AFC North, the Pittsburgh Steelers will more likely win that division. I don't think you're going to get a wild card team from that division. Same thing with the AFC West. The Chiefs are 6-3. Even with the loss last week to Dallas, they still have a somewhat control over that over the AFC West. The Raiders are 2 games back of the Chiefs with a 4-5 record. So it's hard to really figure out where that the 2 wild card teams are going to come from. So right now, I would say your division winners, Patriots, Chiefs, Steelers. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in the AFC South. I just really think one team is probably going to come out of the South. One team is going to come out of the North. And, yeah, I mean, I want to say that the Raiders or Chargers can get it together down the stretch. And get a wild card, but I definitely think there's room. Buffalo knows going into this game Sunday against the Saints that this is for a wild card. This is for a wild card. So I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. Next game, the Green Bay Packers 4-4 at the Chicago Bears. Okay. I just heard that snow has made its way to the Chicago area. So this is going to be a good game. Both of these teams like playing in the cold weather. So no complaints there about the weather from these teams, but the Bears are coming off a bye week. Actually, they played the Saints back in week 8, and they lost 20-12, but it was a pretty good game. They almost beat the Saints in New Orleans, so I remember watching that game. And then last week, it was the Packers losing to Detroit. And I knew Matthew Stafford and his team was going to get it together, especially after being shut down touchdown-wise a week before against Pittsburgh. So who wins this game here? And let's just kind of look at the NFC North and see what's going on, okay? An important game for Green Bay. They have lost 3 games in a row since Aaron Rodgers went down. Brett Hundley is just not able to move this team. I'm not really hearing anything about another quarterback or, you know, coming in perhaps. You know, I think the season is still salvageable if you're a Packers fan. I don't think they're, you know, tanking it. I do know that the Detroit Lions are for real, and they're trying to get it done. But, you know, I think the Packers probably shake this skid. I mean, you're basically looking at the matchup here as far as quarterbacks. You got, you know, Mitch Trubisky and Brett Hundley. I mean, I don't know. I mean, looking at these quarterback ratings for both of these guys, Trubisky 66.3 quarterback rating, Brett Hundley 58.3. I don't know. I mean, I think the saving grace here, man, if you're going to look at this, Jordan Howard, though, is getting it done. So I have to give the edge to the Bears only because the running game seems to be working pretty good. I don't know what's going on with Ty Montgomery. I mean he has played well against the Bears in previous years games, but you know, he's also coming back from an injury. So this game is going to be all about, you know, Tariq Cohen, the rookie running back who's, you know, doing some great things there in Chicago as well. Devontae Adams over there with Green Bay. I'm not seeing where Brett Hundley is able to get the ball to Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, or even, you know, Devontae Adams, you know, just the way that Aaron Rodgers would. So that's why I'm shocked that they're not really shopping around or looking at other quarterbacks. But could be a low-scoring game. I think the Bears are going to win. I think the Bears are going to win, even though the Packers could go over 500 with a win. But and over the last, you know, eight games, the Packers have won seven. You know, but you got to remember, a lot of those games included Aaron Rodgers, so you don't have that in this game. So I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears to win at home, Soldier Field, on Sunday. All right, keeping it in the NFC North. How about this? Cleveland Browns 0-8 at the Detroit Lions 4-4. Okay, so here we go. The countdown is on. All right. Normally, the Cleveland Browns has always been in this position. Now you got the San Francisco 49ers in this position too. So which one of these teams are playing for the number one draft pick in 2018? I mean, how many more draft picks, first round picks, can the Cleveland Browns get? I mean, come on, really? Hugh Jackson has got to be sitting there thinking, wow, you know, we're coming off a bye. We got our butts kicked in London by the Minnesota Vikings in week eight. So here, coming off a bye, we have a team that has not won a game, and they're going to be playing at Ford Field in Detroit against a team that is pretty desperate. So the Lions are looking for their second win in a row. They beat Green Bay last week, 30-17. And Jim Caldwell and his guys are out for blood. Matthew Stafford is looking pretty darn good. Amir Abdullah, Golden Tate. I mean, things are just kind of getting really, really good for the Lions, even on defense. So I would say that the Detroit Lions are going to win this game. But I like to give hope to Cleveland Browns fans and thinking that, okay, you've had a long, 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 long time off between games, between your Minnesota game back in week eight. So something has to happen for Hugh Jackson. Okay, you really need to win a game. All right, you need to win a game. I'm almost certain it's going to be the 49ers and the Browns getting the best draft pick next year. But, I mean, it's just the same old story here. I don't even know why I spent as much time as I did talking about this game. Detroit Lions will win this game. But I do want to go back and look at that standings, though. So with a Detroit win, they will, you know, just continue to keep pace with the Vikings, who are red hot. They have won four in a row at 6-2, so they can separate themselves from Green Bay and get where they need to be. And you could possibly, you know, look at a wild card team there, depending on what happens in the NFC East. I think your wild card team could come from there, but as I say that, I think the NFC South is probably going to produce two teams in the NFL playoffs. So let's look at the next game, which is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers 6-2 at the Indianapolis Colts 3-6. So, I mean, this is just not your marquee game. The Indianapolis Colts, we will probably have to have another show and talk a little bit more about Andrew Luck. I mean, I'm just not able to find a lot of truth in what's being said about Andrew Luck's injury. I mean, this guy's been out for a while. I think the longer he stays out of football, he becomes irrelevant. And then he comes back. And then I just think that his ego, I mean, not his ego, but I mean, just his whole mental psyche and his ability to even stay on the football field is gonna impact his performance. I don't know. But anyway, Jacoby Brissett is the man. He hasn't really played bad. I mean, it's the same, you know, story there in Indianapolis. Frank Gore continues to the ageless wonder. is getting it done out there. Jack Doyle, their tight end, is really helping them out a lot. Rashawn Melvin on defense is giving them a little bit. And of course, you know, when you got an old Adam Vinatieri on your team, you know, this guy is getting close to 50 years old, still out there kicking field goals. The Steelers coming off a bye week. They won week 8 against Detroit, 20-15. That defense played stellar defense. I'm not saying stiller, I'm saying stellar. That defense really looked great that Sunday night. I think it was a Sunday night game against Detroit. They did not allow a touchdown. And that's really an accomplishment when you, you know, go up against a Matthew Stafford team. So here's a little history on these two teams. I think the last time they played at this site was almost a year ago. And it was the Steelers winning 28-7. And they, over the last, the Steelers have won the past 4 games. So there's a 4 game win streak. I say it's going to be a 5 game win streak. I think the Steelers are going to get it done. You know, you're coming off a bye week. I've always said, if you listen to this show, having bye weeks late in the season, I just think it really helps. I think it's got to come at a time, week 8, week 9, week 10, somewhere around there where you probably, I mean, you've gone, what, 8, 9, 10 games straight, and your team gets to rest, and you really just get to evaluate and look and prepare for the rest of the season. So I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are in a comfortable place. I think they get this win, and they will improve to 7-2, which will be pretty spectacular. So I would expect much of the same on offense. You're going to see a lot of Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, I mean, it's just going to happen with the Steelers. I think they really show us that they're going to try to make a serious run. Next game, I like this next matchup. This next game, pretty interesting. I mean, normally we wouldn't even think about watching a game like this, even though these two teams don't have great records. Well, at least one of them don't. The Los Angeles Chargers still trying to get used to, you know, playing in Los Angeles and being called the LA Chargers. 3-5, they will take on the Jacksonville Jaguars, 5-3. So I just talked about the Cleveland Browns and over the years and how they have continuously, you know, played bad and got good draft picks and done nothing with them. Well, here's a team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who at one time was pretty good. And if you recall that time that they actually made the AFC Championship game, and they were led by Tom Coughlin. And guess who's back in Jacksonville? Tom Coughlin. He is, you know, on that, not the coaching staff. He's in the front office. So, I mean, look at the change. Look at the change. So he's making player personnel decisions. Look at what's happening. And if you Cleveland, you should, you know, be ashamed of yourself to let a team like Jacksonville, who has, you know, stunk it up over the last few years, but pick by pick by pick, year by year by year, they are 5-3. And right now, they are actually in first place in their division. I'm sorry, they're actually tied with the Titans. But, I mean, this is incredible. The Titans the Jaguars are competitive now. They might make the playoffs. Better yet, they might win that division. I say you're probably only going to get one team in the AFC South. The Texans, I'm just not sure what Houston is going to do. Losing, you know, Deshaun Watson have set them back pretty good. I mean, they probably could have won that division had he continued to play. But I think the Jaguars are in a pretty good spot. But anyway, so it's going to be the Jaguars at home against the Chargers. Now, Chargers are coming off a bye. They lost to New England 21-13 back in week 8. And the Jaguars are coming off a huge win over a NFC North opponent, 23-7 versus the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, they're shutting them down. I mean, on defense, Calais Campbell, you know, I said when that guy went over there and Deshaun Gibson, who is, he's got three picks this year, tied for third in the league. I mean, they're getting it done. They are getting it done. And Blake Bortles, what can I say about Blake Bortles? I mean, I've talked about this guy, you know, for years, and it seems like he's getting it done. Doug Marrone, that team is making it happen. So Anthony Lynn is going to, this will be his first matchup against the Jaguars, but I think the Jaguars are going to win. They're going to go to 6-3. Okay, and that's incredible. Incredible for a team like that. So they're going to definitely, they know where they are in the standings, and they're gonna get it done. So we're going to see what Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram are going to be able to do against the offense of the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I think they're going to get it done. I think Leonard Fournette comes back after his, what do you call that, one game suspension, team imposed suspension. So he gets back on the field. He should be hungry and ready to play. The next game, New York Jets 4-5 at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay 2-6. I have to admit that before the season started, you know, we have to make our predictions and picks and the outlooks. I actually had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning and possibly making the playoffs and being a wild card. I just thought that Dirk Koetter had put together something, you know, pretty good. I mean, picking up Deshaun Jackson and just looking at Doug Martin and Jameis Winston, I just figured they, you know, had something to play for. You know, on defense, Quan Alexander, Gerald McCoy. I mean, how could you not say that, you know, the Bengals' future, you know, looked pretty good? But that's not the case. Jameis Winston is going to be out of this game. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to take the helm, and this should be interesting because, you know, he actually spent a couple of seasons with the Jets, so he'll be at home at Raymond James Stadium taking on his former team. But the Jets have actually owned the Buccaneers. They have won the past 8 games. The Jets are playing great ball. I mean, you know, unless Ryan Fitzpatrick just have one of those crazy days, they do happen occasionally in the NFL. I just think that Josh McCown, you know, I just think that the Jets are going to win this game. I think they too know where they stand in that AFC East, and they're not wanting Buffalo to. I think we already know that the Patriots are going to win that division, but you know, these teams are playing for wild card now. And the Jets, even at 4-5, I mean, they're practically at the bottom of that division, but only, you know, 3 games out of first place. Well, I'd just say 2 games out of that second place. So there's going to be something for them to play for. And, you know, they're coming off a win last week against Buffalo, so that definitely gives them a little, you know, breathing room. And I'm going to go with the Jets. I think the Jets are going to win. I just think Tampa, I don't know how much heart is left in that team, you know, especially with their leader, Jameis Winston, not being able to play. So I am going to go with the New York Jets. Next game, the Cincinnati Bengals, 3-5 at the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, I forgot to mention that the Steelers have a short week. They will play Sunday, and then they would play again on Thursday Night Football against these Tennessee Titans. The Titans also have a short week. They will play Sunday against the Bengals at home, and then they will face the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday night. So let's just talk about this game a little bit. So Titans coming off a huge win over the Baltimore Ravens, 23-20, and now they will face another AFC North opponent. And the Cincinnati Bengals, Bengals coming off a loss to Jacksonville, 23-7. You know, this is a pretty good game on paper. I mean, what I'm seeing from you know, Dalton and Mariota, you know, things just look pretty even there. So you're going to see a heavy dose of DeMarco Murray, Delanie Walker at the tight end. They're going to use that position a lot. And you're going to see some Joe Mixon and AJ Green, on the Bengals side. So not a lot of, you know, things stick out here in this game. I think the Titans know where they are too. The Bengals know that, you know, they're fighting an uphill battle in the AFC North. I don't think there's a remote chance that they're going to make the playoffs. But the Tennessee Titans, who are currently tied with the Jaguars, they would definitely be playing for something. And I think you're going to see a Titans victory on Sunday against the Bengals. The next game, Minnesota Vikings at the Washington Redskins. Nothing like a good old NFC matchup here. So the Redskins, they stunned Seattle, okay, last week. And that's why Seattle had to come out with a sense of urgency on Thursday night. Redskins beat Seattle in Seattle, something teams don't do often, is go to the 12th man and win. But the Vikings, they are coming off a long extended break. The last game they played was over in London. They beat Cleveland 33-16. So Mike Zimmer has his team really playing some great football. I mean, I tell you what, you're talking about one of the headline stories of 2017. It's got to be the Minnesota Vikings. They are right now in first place. And here's the thing. They were playing competitive football before Aaron Rodgers went down. So it wasn't even guaranteed that Green Bay was going to run away with that NFC North. All right. The Minnesota Vikings have played some great football games. So two of their losses, I know I was at one of those losses. They lost to the Steelers in Pittsburgh back in September. So I was there to see that game. But, I mean, Case Keenum, are you serious? I mean, this guy is playing pretty good football. Okay, and Adam Thielen, I mean, where did he come from? Thielen is playing great ball. I think they get Stephon Diggs back. Kyle Rudolph, I mean, they have a solid team on offense, even though you know, they lost their rookie running back. They're not missing a beat here. I mean, they are not missing a beat. And as a matter of fact, I think they're on a win streak of some sort here. Four, how about that? They have won four in a row. All right, so and having said that, I mean, it's going to be hard for me not to pick them to win, even though they're going to be playing at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. I think the Vikings can go in there and get it done. I think they can win. I think they know that the pressure for them to, they're going to have to win that division. But I think they can. Now, I'm not going to take anything away from the Redskins, too, because they have those up and down games. This has the making of, I mean, if the Redskins are going to win, they're going to need 30 points or more. I'm just going to say that. Because, you know, sometimes you just get those crazy games from Kirk Cousins, and he'll put up 300, close to 400 yards on you out of nowhere. And if that's going to happen, then you're going to see a lot of Jamison Crowder, Josh Doctson, and perhaps some Vernon Davis in order to make that happen. But even on defense, though, Ryan Kerrigan, Josh Norman, I mean, they have some people, yeah, Will Compton. I mean, this is going to be a pretty good game to watch. It, you know, it really is. So looking forward to seeing this one. But I think the Vikings are going to win. I just think coming off that bye and having Mike Zimmer to be able to motivate and get this team ready for the second half of the season, I think that's what we're going to see. Next game. Houston Texans at the Los Angeles Rams. Well, it's not a good time for anyone to play against the Rams. I mean, just like I said, a surprise story for 2017 in the NFL. Well, actually, there's two. Okay, so the Vikings and the Rams. Who would have thunk it that Jared Goff would be playing the way he's playing, that Todd Gurley would be playing the way he's playing, and that this new head coach, all of what, 31 years old, Sean McVay, is able to motivate this team and get this team where they are. I mean, this is an incredible season. Okay, so it is not the storylines that we think that is there. Although the Patriots are creeping up. But I mean, this is incredible stuff here. I mean, looking at what's happening here, and I'll talk about Carson Wentz here in a little bit, because you know these quarterbacks, Jared Goff and Wentz, came out and now they're in the sophomore year, and look at what's happening here, and they are playing some pretty good football here, and it's just surprising. So for the Texans, I mean, it's just sad. I mean, the Astros did win the World Series, but other than that, Houston and the Rockets are playing good basketball too. But I mean, football in Houston is just really, you could just kind of hear the air come out of the balloon there, especially if it wasn't the McNair comment, then the losing, they lost J.J. Watt, then you get the McNair comment, then you lose Deshaun Watson. So, I mean, it's just, you know, and then you get Tom Savage, who, believe it or not, passed for his first career touchdown last week. And, you know, congratulations to him, because people have always, you know, said, hey, why is this guy a starting quarterback in the NFL? And, you know, he can at least say, hey, I've thrown a touchdown pass in the NFL. But, and then, you know, just picking up the quarterbacks that they did pick up in Houston, it's just crazy. I mean, football is a very touchy subject right now in Houston. So going up against the Rams is not going to make it any better come Monday, because I think the Rams continue to steamroll through the NFL. They are in first place. They will be looking for their fourth win. Now, I will say this, that the Rams are better on the road, because they are 4-0. As a matter of fact, I think the Rams are the only team in the NFL that have not lost a game on the road. So that's incredible. The Patriots, they are 3-0 on the road, but and that's scary too, because you know, if you're AFC teams thinking about the playoffs. But interesting. I just think that so there's an outside chance that Houston could pull it off, but Houston just don't even have it on defense. I mean, the Rams are putting up crazy points, and I just don't see how the Texans couldn't come out of there with a win. So I'm picking the Rams to win. I mean, they're averaging 32.9 points a game, so that's something. And then when you have a defense that's pretty much crippled in Houston, I don't see how you're going to stop that. All right, the next game, the Dallas Cowboys, 5-3 at the Atlanta Falcons. So Cowboy fans really have something to be proud of. They actually won a game against a, you know, top opponent, first place opponent, actually, Kansas City Chiefs last week, 28-17. Falcons, they lost to their division rival, Carolina, 20-17. So, interesting. Jason Garrett is 0-2 against the Falcons. So, but the big thing going against the Cowboys in this game is they will probably be without Ezekiel Elliott, who continues to have off-the-field concerns and in and out of court, trying to see if he's going to play, if he's not going to play. And my take on this whole thing with Zeke is that, okay, I'm shocked that the organization would be trying to remove all six games instead of trying to just reduce it. And I think early on in this saga, they did talk about perhaps reducing, and I think that's what Tom Brady eventually ended up getting as a reduction. He still had to serve a suspension for his infraction. But and then a lot of people are confused with, okay, well, if he wasn't charged with anything, and then why is he being penalized by the NFL? Because, well, the NFL has a code of conduct, so they can issue whatever punishment that they want. And then Cowboys owner Jerry Jones seems to have a problem with that also. So where the Cowboys go from here probably will depend on not so much their running back, but their owner, and what he's going to do. So I don't know. I mean, I just think it's kind of crazy what's happening there. But the Falcons made it to the Super Bowl last year. Right now, they are outside looking in at 4-4. They're not even poised to make the playoffs right now because of the Saints and the Panthers playing better football at the moment. So, having said that, I'm going to say that Matt Ryan and these guys, they have all the weapons that they could ever want. Nothing has changed much in Atlanta since that Super Bowl last year. Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Tevin Campbell, Devontae Freeman, Matt Ryan. I mean, they should be able to win at home. They lose to the Cowboys at home in that brand new Mercedes-Benz Stadium, then there's going to be, you know, a lot of finger pointing and all of that stuff. So I think Matt Ryan has probably the biggest game of the year for him. Okay, and then I think they just really put it to the Dallas Cowboys. Now, this was actually the game I wanted to see last year, because I figured if the Cowboys had got past Green Bay in the playoffs, they would have been playing Atlanta. So we're just getting this game a year later. And we're gonna see what's gonna happen. So it may not be as even as it needs to be, because there's not, you know, you're not gonna have Zeke Elliott, but you will have Alfred Morris getting the carries. But I think the Falcons will win this game. The next game is the New York Giants and the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm thinking, I thought these two teams had already played each other this year. So I guess I'm tripping. But anyway, this is a 1-7 versus an 0-9. Okay, game's going to be played at Levi's Stadium in San Francisco. I don't even know what to tell you. I mean, if there's anything that you need to do around the house, or spend time with the kids, the wife, or what have you, this might be that game. Okay, it's an afternoon game on Sunday, and 1-7 versus an 0-9 team. Okay, I think the 49ers will win their first game. All right, I will say that. But Giants could easily win their second game. So it's just a crazy game. I mean, I know that Cal Shanahan, when he took that job in San Francisco, he probably didn't envision, you know, getting off to an 0-9 start. But I think he gets it done. And most of his problems are with his quarterback. He's starting a rookie quarterback, C.J. Beathard. And you're going up against a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback in Eli Manning. So, yeah, the Giants could easily get it done. Eli could probably tear that defense apart in San Francisco. But come on, at some point in time, you just got to get one in there. And like I said earlier, this is the battle of who's going to get the number one draft pick, whether it's going to be the 49ers or the Cleveland Browns. And to be honest with you, the 49ers earlier in the season, man, they were playing great football. Just losing games by maybe one or two or three points. But nevertheless, they lose, and that continues to wear on you mentally as well as physically. But I think the 49ers win their first game. So mark this down. Okay, you heard right here on the CBS Sports Kings podcast. Mean Gene said that the 49ers will win their first game. So Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and Aaron Andrews should have fun with this game. I just listen to the commentary on this game, because it's I'm sure you can hear a lot of jokes about the records, but they're going to soup it up. They're going to talk about the storied franchise, of the history of these two teams, because they have won Super Bowls between the both of them. It's just not their year this year. The Sunday night game, New England Patriots at the Denver Broncos. Back in the day, this was something worth watching, as the Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady drama used to play out here. But we still might have a little bit of drama, because guess who will start at quarterback for the Denver Broncos? Brock Osweiler. Okay, so he, interesting. Just pretty good stuff here. Brock Osweiler, who actually, you know what, played 7 games that year for Peyton Manning, who was out. And then Peyton Manning comes back, takes the Broncos to the Super Bowl. They win. And then Brock Osweiler didn't want to play anymore in Denver. And he goes to Houston. And then he, yeah, just a long story there with Brock Osweiler. But he gets another chance to prove himself. And to be honest with you, I would love to see the Broncos knock off the Patriots, because I just told you the Patriots have not lost a road game. So I don't even have to tell you who's on that New England team. It doesn't really matter, because they just find a way to win with whoever they have. But I will tell you that Gronkowski is continuing to get things done. So the Patriots are coming off a bye. So now you're playing a Bill Belichick team who has had time to prepare. All right. So that's probably not good for Denver. But we'll see. I mean, it's interesting. Von Miller, 8 sacks for the Broncos. He's going to be looking for number 9 and 10, maybe even 11 against Tom Brady. So that's your Sunday night NBC game. So I guess I got to pick one here. I'm going to go with the Broncos. I think the Broncos need to get it done, because they are mathematically out of the playoffs. Perhaps they've lost 4 games in a row, okay? So I can't imagine them losing 5 games in a row. I think they get a win. Make Sunday Night Football interesting for all of us as we get ready for the Monday Night game, which is going to be in Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, Bank of America Stadium. The Miami Dolphins 4-4 at the Carolina Panthers 6-3. Well, it seems like Cam Newton has found a way to shake off his credits and become more of a positive story in the news lines, because you know that crazy mess with the reporter and, you know, all of that stuff, the female reporter. Cam is getting it done with his playing on the field. He had 2 touchdowns. Let's see, 1 pass, 1 rush, 51 yards rush in the last time these two teams played. I actually covered a Dolphins-Panthers game a few years ago in Charlotte. So, interesting. But Cam was there, but Jay Cutler was not there. So, as you know, Ryan Tannehill is another one of those players who got hurt early in the season, actually the preseason back in August. He went out, so Jay Cutler is going to be asked to do the impossible, and that's win in Carolina. So Jonathan Stewart, Christian McCaffrey. I just really like how they're using Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he's really taking on a lot of responsibility. Mike Adams, Luke Kuechly, you know, the usual suspects there on defense, continuing to get it done. Thomas Davis. You know, he'll be a factor in this game. And Julius Peppers, how about that? Crazy. So that Carolina's back. I mean, there's a reason why this team is battling the Saints for first place in the NFC South. So that is your Monday night game. So I am going to go with the Panthers. I think the Panthers go to 7-3. And you know, I mean, this season continues to be a surprising one. I mean, at the end of it, I cannot tell you who's going to be in Super Bowl 52, but that's why it's fun watching and listening to these storylines and watching these matchups, because it's all going to boil down to be kind of interesting. So hope you have enjoyed this full NFL countdown for week 10. I haven't done one of these in a while. I had a lot of you guys telling me, Mean Gene, when are you going to do a full countdown? You've been giving us, you know, just teasers. Okay, so here you have it. This is a full week 10 countdown, including my picks. So hopefully you, if you're playing fantasy football, if you're out there betting legally, illegally, whatever, hope you do well. So folks, hey, hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you back next week here on the CBS Sports Radio podcast, Sports Kings. I am Mean Gene, and have a great weekend.